Invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, and the young people, I believe, may be dismissed to Children's Church. Okay, Candace, you're in charge, right? Filling in for Irene this morning. Matthew chapter 25. And I'm going to read quite a few verses here. I'm going to begin with verse 1. So follow along as I read Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. The virgins are representative of the Jews. During the time of Christ's second coming, when he comes again, the idea is, will they be ready when he sets up his kingdom? And so they went forth to meet the bridegroom, which is Jesus Christ. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Have to ask ourselves, am I ready? Am I ready? There's coming a day, and there is a day when the door will be shut. Am I ready to meet him? Will I meet him as my Savior? And afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is unto man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now, you notice this is connected. These two parables really are related to one another. And unto one, verse 15, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he which had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2 also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 talent went and digged in the earth, and he hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants comes and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. But why didn't you gain 5 more talents like the other one did, he said. No, he didn't say that, did he? He praised him for gaining 2 because he'd received 2. And then verse 24, and then when he had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed or sown. And I was afraid and went hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, here, there, thou hast that is thine. Here is yours. And the Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gathered where I have not strawed, or where I have scattered no seed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury or interest. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm going to begin with the question, what am I doing with God's bounty to me? What am I doing with God's bounty to me? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. And when you stand, join me in prayer by standing as we pray, if you're able. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you for the lessons we learn, the life that we have because of being born again through the eternal Word of God that will never fade, never pass away. Thank you for the wonderful truth. Thank you for the revelation we have of the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave and his ascension in the glory. And then thank you, Lord, for the revelation of his coming again, even in this passage that we just looked at. May we be ready. May we be working. May we be serving and be found faithful until that day when our faith will be turned into sight. I pray your blessing upon us. Open our hearts to receive what you'd have for us. I pray that if there be anyone who knows not Christ, that they will come to know you today as Savior from sin. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we have the parable of the talents in this passage. Of course, the parable of the 10 virgins as well, and we have to ask the question, what am I doing with what God's given to me? Or is my life full of wasted opportunity? Wasted opportunity. How many of us have wasted time and time again the opportunities God brings our way? There's a poem called Maud Miller, written by John Greenleaf Whittier, and there's a well-known line in it that goes like this: for all sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these, it might have been. Of all the sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these, what might have been. It's about a young farm maiden who sees a lawyer who comes her way, and then the lawyer sees the farm maiden, and they both think, wouldn't it be wonderful to be married to that guy, to be married to that girl, but they never even talk to each other, and then they go their ways, but through the rest of their lives, they wonder, what would it have been like to have been married to that person? What might have been? They never knew what might have been. You know, the Bible is filled with admonitions for us to use the opportunities God brings to us while available. Cast thy bread upon the waters, and thou shalt find it after many days. Ecclesiastes 11:1 and also verse 6. We read in Ephesians 5:16 and 17. See then that ye walk circumspectly. That means looking around, looking everywhere. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. God says, tells us that you and I need to be redeeming the time, buying up the opportunities. And life is filled, just filled to overflowing with opportunities to glorify our Lord and serve him, yea, even in serving others, serving him. Now, look at verse 13 again. The Lord ends this part of the parable of the 10 virgins by saying, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For, you see, really, there shouldn't be a break here. It just goes right into verse 14. So watch wherein the Son of Man cometh, for he is as a man traveling into a far country. Notice that the phrase, the kingdom of heaven is as, is in italics in the King James Version. In fact, you may have a version that doesn't have that in it. But that's been added. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man. And we could translate it, verse 13, for the Son of Man cometh, for he is as a man traveling. The Son of Man is coming, and he is as a man traveling. Or it is as a man traveling into a far country. Okay, when he comes, it says, if he's been away because he wasn't a man that was traveling in a far country because he went away, and before he went away, he left his goods with his servants to take care of. So the Lord is stressing different truths in each parable, but the whole thing is needed. The parable of the virgins, he's talking about the importance of our inward spiritual life. Being ready spiritually, being ready inwardly. The parable of talents is talking about being ready outwardly, what we're doing, the activity we're involved in while we wait on our Lord's second coming. The parable of the virgins stresses watchfulness or waiting. We watch while we wait for the Lord. Parable of the talents is stressing that we work while we wait. We not only watch, but we work. We're busy. We're using the opportunities in serving the Lord. So, looking for Christ's return, we labor in light of it. Waiting, we are working. In other words, before his return is not a time for us to kick back and relax and get lazy, right? Saving faith is a serving faith, or it should be. So here we have a story of a man who takes a trip, and while he's away, he entrusts his goods to his slaves, and he expects them to do something with it. And when he returns, he's going to check it out and see what's been done, see if they've made money, if they invested it, or if they sat on it. Now, a talent is a... By the way, as you notice, we're not in 1 Peter. We'll get back to 1 Peter. But being Thanksgiving, I wanted to look at this and talk about God's bounty and what we're doing. But anyway, a talent was a large amount of money. The Greek word is talentus or talantus, and we get our word talent from that word. It means natural ability, the way we use it. But here in the parable, the natural ability is what God used as a vessel to fill with talent, like his spiritual gifts, the riches of his grace, the glorious gospel. In other words, a talent is what God possesses and he loans to his servants. So our talents are, our abilities are really on loan to us. They're just on loan. We don't deserve them. We didn't come up with them. They were given to us. So anyway, and a talent in our money today, one talent would be about $600,000. $600,000. So five talents would be about $3 million. So it'd be like, okay, let's say instead of five talents, two talents, and one talent, the man goes away and he writes a check out for $5 million to one, $2 million to the other, $1 million to the other. That would be more comparable to our standard. So let's say I'm the guy that's going away. I'm going on a trip to Afghanistan. I've just always wanted to see Afghanistan, and I got a luxury liner lined up to go there, and I don't know how I'm going to get there, though, on that. But somehow I'm going to Afghanistan. And while I'm away, I write a check out for $5 million, $2 million, $1 million, and give them to various people that serve me. They're my servants, you know. And I want them to invest it while I'm gone and make money with them, because that's what I'm doing. That's how I got so rich. I made money on my money. I invested it in real estate, the stock market, various businesses, and I expect them to do what I've been doing. Our Lord has gone away. Our Lord Jesus Christ has gone away, hasn't he? The disciples saw him being lifted up into heaven, and a cloud received him out of their sight. He's gone away. He's at the right hand of God, but he's coming again. But while he's away, he's given us use of his goods to invest. That's what God's trying to tell you and me. And we have to ask ourselves a question. How am I doing with what God's given to me? How are you doing with God's bounty to you? What am I doing with God's bounty to me? God's given so much. And what have you done with your talent. We're having dinner today. Can't wait, right? And there's so much to eat, and the problem is where to put it all. First of all, where do I put it all on my plate? And then where do I put it all in my stomach? I gotta make room, you know. Maybe I can hollow out a leg and some will go down there. The plate's not big enough. My stomach's not big enough. That's how I feel. Man, at Thanksgiving time, I just wish I had a bigger stomach. Now, other times I don't want it, but boy, if I just can, you know, really get big during Thanksgiving, that would be fun. But I tend to make it big. Christmas, same thing. The food and the gifts. So many gifts to put under the tree or to put in the car. What do we do with them? I remember we'd go to Mom and Dad's when the kids were young, go have Christmas. And I tell you, when we left to come back home, we had a station wagon, and we would load that thing up and then give us so many gifts and such big gifts that we'd tie it on top of the roof of the car, you know, whether I had a luggage rack or not. It was just crazy. Finally, we said, Mom and Dad, don't give us huge, monstrous gifts, you know. The kids don't all need these Hot Wheels tricycles, you know. They're in these huge boxes. We can't get them home very easily. But what do we do with it? God has given us so much. Look over at 1 Peter, where we have been. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. We read, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4, 1 Peter 1, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God. And so on. You greatly rejoice. I remember what a blessing to study those verses. And then 2 Peter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power has given to us, right? He's given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You have everything you need to live a life of godliness. You have everything you need right now to live a life that pleases God, a life that is holy. Are you? Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us, again, given, exceeding great and precious promises, and by these ye might be partakers of no less than the divine nature. Wow. God has given us so much. What am I doing with God's bounty to me? One Puritan writer said, He who has God has enough. He who has God has enough. Are you filled? Are you full this morning? You have God. You have enough. Who should rejoice but those who have an infinite, all-sufficient, eternal God to be their portion, who are as rich as heaven can make them? I just read this a few days ago, and I thought, I'm going to include this in this message. I love that. You are as rich right now as heaven can make you. You're a partaker of the divine nature. Can we get any more than that? You have God in you. God is living in you. How am I doing in regards to that? Okay, what am I doing with God's bounty to me? Number one, God has given me so much. We've already talked about that. But point number one, God has given me so much. I might say God has given me gobs. My mom always used to use the word gobs. Oh, you know, I say, Mom, you got enough food for me? Oh, we have gobs. Gobs. I love that word, gobs. Or a ton. God has given us a ton. We like to use that word. And we know by that we mean a lot, a lot. Notice verse 14, he delivered unto them. Verse 15, he gave, and he does so for you. He delivers to you, he gives to you and me. God is a bountiful giver. He gives to all. What other religion can one find where a man's God gives to him? I dare say most all other religions, their God is demanding of them. You give to him. And what we give to our God, Jehovah and the Lord Jesus Christ, is simply returning what he's already given to us. Others demand, God gives. Why does he give? I tell you why. Love. God gives because he loves you. Why in the world does he love you? Good question. Not an easy answer other than what the Bible says. Because he loves you. He loves you because he loves you. Deuteronomy 8, I think, says that somewhere in Deuteronomy 8. God loved his people Israel because he loved them. That's good enough for me. It sure isn't because I'm so good, I'm so sweet, I'm so kind, I'm so holy within my own nature, right? No, because he loved me. He saved me because he loves me. Matthew 7:11. If ye being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? How much more? I mean, you and I are good to our children, and then we're even better to our grandchildren. Oh, our kids say, if only mom and dad would have treated us like they treat my kids, their grandkids. Well, no, that wouldn't be right either, would it? But we give. We love to be a blessing, a help to our children and grandchildren. How much more shall your heavenly Father? I mean, God gave his Son. God gave his Son, 1 John 3:16. We know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. How about 1 John 3:16? Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Hereby perceive, we know, we understand the love of God by looking at the cross. He laid down his life for us. He gives me his love. He gives me his righteousness. He gives me his holiness, his wisdom, his grace, his riches, his glory. He gives me his heaven. That's all God's heaven. I don't deserve that. I rebelled against it. I was a child of the devil. I was doing the lusts of my father, the devil. And God reached down by his grace and pulled me up and seated me on high. Wow. He did it all. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30 and 31. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Because he's given us everything. Anything good is because of God. My life is his. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He begins by saying, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I, but Christ who lives within me. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and showed me his love by giving himself for me. 1 Corinthians 4:7, what hast thou didst not receive? James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? Yeah, above. And comes down. It's above, but it comes down to you. The gifts you enjoy, the blessings you enjoy, everything you have came from God. All the money in your bank account came from God. All your ability came from God. Your ability to breathe, the blood that pumps through your veins, your nervous system, your skeletal system, your brain, or lack thereof, came from God, right? And don't blame God if you lack. It's your fault. It's sin's fault. Sin came in, and God wasn't responsible for that. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Ephesians 4:7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, which is measureless. You were given Christ. You were given grace according to the measure of Christ. Wow, Ephesians 4:7. And 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You have all, in all. And thus you should abound to all, right? What a verse. Again, 2 Corinthians 9:8. Then 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves, not that we are adequate, capable of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Our adequacy is of God. As soon as you and I think we've got it figured out, we've got it all together, we ain't going to have it all together. I guarantee it. Another Thomas Watson, Puritan from the 1600s, said, "He is a sufficient good. He who has God has enough. He is not only a full vessel, but a spring. God is an infinite fullness." Wow. And all that we have, we must trace to the great fountain, the giver of all good. We are simply stewards of the mysteries of God, 1 Corinthians 4:1. So God is a great giver, and God has given you and me a gob, a ton, so much. But what am I doing with his talents, his gifts? What am I doing with his bounty to me? God has given me so much. Secondly, God has given me according to my ability. God has given me according to my ability. In other words, God has given me just what I can handle. What he's given me was perfect for me, right? Again, Matthew 25:15, our parable, he gave according to his several ability. In other words, the master, our Lord, gave them according to their ability, according to their own ability, each one's individual ability. And he knew exactly what to give them. He knew not to give $5 million to the one to whom he gave $1 million, because he knew he wasn't as capable. He wasn't as wise. Maybe he wasn't as mature. Maybe he was a teenager, you know, like that. So he gave them according to their ability. Each had a different ability. And God knows me. God knows you. There's no way that God's going to make me do something that he hasn't already given me the grace to do it, or will enable me to do it when the time comes. You say, well, I can never get up front of a class and teach or preach. Well, fine. We wouldn't want every single one of you to get up in front of a class or in front of the church and teach and preach. It's not what God's given every single one to do, though he's given some of you that to do, and it may be you're not doing it. Now, sometimes we need to develop. We need to try it. How do you know you're not to do that until you try it? How do you know you're not to teach a Sunday school class or lead a group until you try it? I couldn't imagine myself preaching someday. Being a preacher? That wasn't me. Just leave me alone, you know. And then I went to study the Bible, and they put me in speech class. And I was scared to death, like everybody. I was scared to death. And I didn't do that well in speech class. And then I had to take pulpit speech. I had to learn how to be a preacher. And I almost flunked that class. I'm in Bob Jones University studying to be a pastor, and I got a C-, I think, in pulpit speech. I usually got A's and B's, you know. I questioned whether I should preach. Seriously. I thought, man, maybe I'm not cut out for this. I got bad grades in that, and it was terrible. But, you know, but I needed that. It was a way for me to learn. We have to learn. We have to step out by faith and trust God to enable us and get out of our comfort zone, as we like to say sometimes. God gives according to his several ability. According to his ability, God entrusts him. Not according to his non-ability. God doesn't attempt to put a lake in a bucket. Some of us are buckets. God's not going to pour a lake in you. But some of us are lakes. God's not going to pour a bucket in you, right? Each of us have been given for God's service what we need and can use. Some 5, some 2, some 1. The key is be faithful. That's the key. Just be faithful. If I have one talent, then get one more. Get one more. I can double my money. That's what God wants us to do. Double our money. Put it to use. If I have two, get two more. If I have five, get five more. God doesn't need brilliance. God has plenty of brilliance. He doesn't need geniuses. I think God can take care of that. He doesn't need popularity. He needs faithfulness. He needs faithfulness. God is given according to my ability. And we're all different. We're different at birth. And God has made and decided the differences because, well, first of all, he's sovereign. And secondly, because he loves variety. God is sovereign. He has the right to do what he will with his own. Romans 9:2, or is it 9:20? Shall the thing form say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? So is the clay that's been formed by the potter saying to the potter, I don't like how you made me. Try that again. No, the clay doesn't do that. Are you going to say to the potter, I don't like how you made me? Now, sometimes we do. I don't like this about me. I don't like that about me. I don't like the family I was born into. Some of my kids used to say, why did I have to be brought up in Kansas? I don't like Kansas. Fine, you can move when you leave the home, and they all did. our oldest son Nathan, he said, why couldn't we live in the mountains, you know? As soon as he left home, he went to Alaska. He wanted to get away. We didn't see him for 14 months, I think, after we said goodbye and put him on the plane, you know. But anyway, why? Because he's sovereign. Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why have you made me like this? The worm is not to murmur because God didn't make it a dolphin. The worm should never say, why didn't you make me a dolphin? Why didn't you make me an angel? And sometimes we say, well, when God passed out the brains, he overlooked me. When God passed out looks, he overlooked me. When God passed out ability, he overlooked me. No, he didn't. He made you just as he wanted you. What am I doing, though, with what God's given me? God's given us everything. We read in Exodus 4:1 when Moses objected to going into Egypt and leading out the children of Israel. You know, I'm slow of speech. I can't talk good, Lord. Why wouldn't you send me? You picked the wrong guy. And God said to him in Exodus 4:1, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? That's right. Someone's born blind. You say, man, that's a real disability. But God made them that way. God gave that to them for his purpose. We don't always know why. We will in glory, won't we? Ours is to be faithful. The stars don't all shine with the same brightness. Every leaf is different. I got trillions of leaves in my yard already. They're beautiful. And I love just seeing them lay on the ground. I'd like to just leave them there. But I'm going to have to clean them up. I think it's something I'm going to do tomorrow. Well, and they aren't even all off the trees yet. Some are still green. Anyway, but I got thinking, I think probably every one of those leaves is different. I think every leaf in the world, and there are millions of trillions of leaves, surely, they're all different, like snowflakes. Although nobody can really prove that, I don't think, but I guess they say there's no snowflake alike. It's amazing. God loves variety. Every leaf differs, every tree, every animal, every galaxy differs. Variety. And so God made a David, but God also made David's armor bearer. God made Mary, and God made a Martha. He made the eagle, but if all were eagles, how would the forest sing with a song, right? Some of us sing, some of us soar. God wants us all. How could each branch bear its weight? if all birds were eagles, right? Some bear the songbirds. There are small places in which to serve, and God wants his servants there serving. God's put you in your little corner of the world, and it may not be grand and great and glorious, but it's where God put you, where you work, where you live, in your family. You need to be a blessing in your family. You need to be a blessing to your mom and dad and your grandpa and grandpa. And some of you young people aren't doing that. You think the world revolves around you and that everybody ought to cater to you and give you what you want. It's time, if you're not, and I hope you are, and I know many of you are, but someone, it's time to start saying, Mom, Dad, how can I be a better son? How can I be a better daughter? How can I please you? Well, how about reading the Bible? How about joining us for family devotions? In other words, I need to use the ability God's put me in this place to serve him, whether son or daughter or a mom and dad. Our mom and dads can do a lot better in serving God in our homes. We begin there with the family worship, right? Family worship. And then it goes out from our individual lives to our community, to the world. 1 Corinthians 12:12. The body is one and has many members. Whether a foot or a hand or an ear or an eye, God has set every member as it has pleased him. 1 Corinthians 12:12 and 18. The body is made up of ears and noses and tongues and teeth and toes and elbows. All of us are different, but all make up the body, don't we? And the ear can't say to the mouth, I don't need you, and neither the mouth to the ear. So God has given us so much. Number one, God has given me according to my ability. Number two, or God loves variety. And number three, God will bring me into account. God will bring me into account. In other words, I will answer to God for what I did with my talent. Verse 19 of Matthew 25, we read, and after a long time, the Lord of those servants comes and reckoneth with them. He reckons with them. He brings them before him to compare accounts. In other words, he settles the account. It's time to settle up, guys. It's time to take account, and let's see what you've done. Let's put it all on the table. That's what God's going to do one day for you and me. It's all going to be laid out on the table before him, and we're going to give an account. And each had to face him. So when Christ comes, he will call us to account. Romans 14:12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether it be good or bad, whether it be approved or disapproved. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Acts 1:11. This same Jesus which is taken up from you shall so come in like manner. Acts 17:31. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. It makes no difference the amount. Doesn't matter how much God's given. Some think they have so little and are so insignificant. God's going to overlook me. I'm a nobody. I can't do anything. I'm just worthless. Not to God. Why did he make you? Why didn't he just take you home the hour he saved you if you were worthless? You are of value to him as he lives within you. A day of accounting will be personal. A day of accounting will be particular. The day of accounting is going to be personal. God won't ask you what your church did, what your pastor did, what your teacher did, what your mom or dad did, what whoever did. He's going to ask you, what did you do? That's what this parable is about. What did you do for Sunday school? I gave you the gift for teaching children. What did you do? Who did you visit? Who did you write a check out to help out? Who did you encourage? Who did you disciple? Who did you pray with? Lord, we had a good church. Lord, we had a good Sunday school class. What about your part in it? Did you encourage? Did you write a note of encouragement? Did you send a letter? Did you visit that person in the hospital? Did you go see that one on their deathbed? Did you go visit hospice? Did you go and encourage? What did you do? I gave you a church in which to serve. I gave you friends, acquaintance, to help spiritually. I gave you more than enough material things. I gave you more than enough money. What did you do with your money? Did you hoard it for yourself, or did you use it to glorify God? The accounting will be personal, and it will be particular. Everything, every item will be brought into account. Matthew 12:36, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. The little things. You know, everything that happened yesterday, you know what happened yesterday? Let me tell you what happened. A bunch of little things. A bunch of little things made up yesterday. Little things. Our days are made up of little things. Tomorrow will be made up of little things. But all the little things make up one life. One life. I know her and I know my wife is quoting someone who said, what do I do? What do we do? And I don't know if it's Elizabeth Elliot or who said, I just take the next step. I just put one foot in front of the other. I do the next thing. I do the next thing, don't we? You have a voice. Speak a word with it. Speak an encouraging word. God's given you a voice. You have a hand to lend a help. You have an ear to hear someone who's crying, someone who's depressed, who's lonely. They need a hearing ear. You have eyes to see the need. What do, though? Our voice, we use our voice to complain. We use our hands to serve ourselves. We use our ears for hearing our own music we like. We use our eyes for lust rather than for God. It's the little things that we neglect to do for the Lord that fills up our life. It's the little wasted opportunities. That man with the one talent was just as responsible as the ones with the five or two talents. So number one, God's given me so much. Number two, God's given me according to my ability. Number three, God will bring me into account. And number four, I thought I already had a number four. No, number four, I think this last one, God will reward me according to my faithfulness. God will reward you and me according to our faithfulness. Verse 21 of Matthew 25, what's he say? Well done, thou good and faithful. Didn't say smart, talented, good-looking. Said faithful, servant, slave. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy. Faithfulness brings joy. God wants to reward you and me. God is so good to us. He blesses us now, and he's going to bless us over abundantly then. Good and faithful. You've been faithful over a few things. And he said the same thing to the other that invested two talents in verse 23. 1 Corinthians 4:2, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That's all that's required. Faithfulness, what God has given us. And if there are degrees in glory, they will not be according to our talents, but according to our faithfulness in using them. And the reward of well done is going to be all we need. Well done. To hear Christ say, well done. Say, Terry, good job. Good job. Fill in your name, right? Will Jesus say that of me? Oh, my. I look and I say, I don't know. I don't know. I can do better. The amount of talents made no difference. Well done. But then the reward of wicked and slothful is the other. The wicked and slothful servant. He wasn't guilty of gross sin. He wasn't guilty of murder or theft or drunkenness, as we read in chapter 24, verse 49. He was simply charged with neglect. He just neglect. He wasted an opportunity. Wasted opportunities. What might have been wasn't. Could it be that this man was not saved after all? He was trying to do everything in his flesh, in his own effort. There was no fruit in his life, no true service. He was the unbelieving church member. His faith was superficial. There was no genuineness to it. He produced nothing. He disregarded the talent given him. He viewed God as hard and uncaring. He was blind to God's wonderful mercy and grace and compassion and honor and majesty and glory because he never surrendered himself to the Lord. He never yielded himself and said, "Take me, Lord, I'm yours." He didn't expect the master's return. He didn't expect to be held accountable. And he was caught by surprise. That won't be true of you, will it? Well, the first two servants used the opportunity given to them, proving that their faith was genuine. The last servant wasted an opportunity, revealing his true character. Those who trust Christ and live for him will gain everything. We've got everything to gain. We can't lose. But those who don't trust Christ will lose everything. We'll lose everything that matters. Nothing matters in this life other than what's done for him. Lay up treasure in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. Those who don't trust Christ will lose everything, including their souls in hell forever, where we read, "He will be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth," verse 30. God help us to be sure we're serving him and pleasing him. And if not, let's take an account of where we are spiritually. Do you know him? Do you truly believe him? Have you truly received him as your Savior? I trust you have. If you have, you have great blessing to look forward to in that day. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the word. Thank you for this admonition. I thank you, first of all, for the encouragement, the reminder that you give us every good gift that we enjoy comes from your bountiful hand. And as a father wants to give good gifts to his children, so you as our Heavenly Father want to abundantly bless each of us. And you want us to receive reward. You want to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And you do everything possible to make it possible for us to receive a reward one day and hear those words, "Well done." But Lord, also we thank you for the warning given here of that one who may not yield his life to God, may not receive "Well done, thou good," but instead be cast into outer darkness. Lord, we know your word teaches so clearly that there is a heaven to look forward to, but there is an eternal hell to avoid. Oh, may we avoid it with everything we have, Lord, and get on our knees and cry out to you to be saved. Help us, Lord. We are needy people. Bless now as we close. May your will be done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 289 is our hymn.